Chapter 34. Spire Albion, Habel Landing, Ventilation Tunnels. Raoul, Little Mouse, and the slightly odder-than-usual human girl walked in a circle of Norn's hardiest warriors, half a dozen big, battle-scarred Toms, most of whom were nearly Raoul's size. Each warrior wore a pair of fighting spurs, curved metal blades fashioned by humans and attached to leather cuffs that wrapped around the cat's rear legs. The spurs were sharp enough, when used properly, to be more than a little dangerous. Raoul felt that the escort was largely symbolic. None of them were his match, spurs or not, and Little Mouse, of course, was both armed and an exceptional human, with strength that had even impressed the half-soul Benedict. It would take a dozen experienced warriors at least to bring down a human like Little Mouse. Raoul growled in his throat. The first to try it would not live long enough to touch her. And that was what this was about. Norn had extended his hospitality, and with it his offer of protection, to Raoul. He had made no such offer for Little Mouse and Folly. Clearly, Norn had no love of humans, for which Raoul could hardly blame him. As a matter of history, cats had usually come to regret entanglements with humans. Humans were fickle, prone to changing their minds without warning or reason. There were very few reliable human beings, even with the half-souls among them, which was why those such as Little Mouse and Wordkeeper were so very exceptional. It was why no sane cat allowed kits to come anywhere near human beings. Humans seemed to feel that it was perfectly acceptable to teach kits to accept food from their hands as a matter of course, rather than teaching them the importance of hunting skill and self-reliance. Once one had to depend upon someone else for food, one had to depend upon someone else for life itself. To give humans such power over cats was an abomination. But it was far from the only indignity or injustice that humans had meted out over the centuries, including active hunts of cats at times, blaming them for things no cat would have done for any reason, attempting to poison their food supply or their water. Cats and humans regularly clashed in places where their understanding of the local human population was incomplete, and mutual pain was the inevitable result of such a breakdown of basic comprehension. If Norn had suffered through something like that, or if those he cared for had suffered, it could easily drive him to irrational hatred of even exceptional humans like Little Mouse. There were only a few reasons Norn would send them from his territory on a course so different from the one they had taken when they arrived, none of them pleasant. Certainly, Raoul thought, Norn meant for something to happen, something of which he did not, and perhaps could not, if Folly was correct, speak aloud. Raoul's instincts kept repeating calmly that Norn intended to expose them to some kind of danger, which was perfectly fine. Raoul could handle any reasonable amount of danger, and between himself and Little Mouse, he felt that there were few challenges that need occupy his thoughts with undue concern. The real reason to him was why Norn would do such a thing. It seemed somewhat rude, especially to a visiting clan chief's heir. But then, Raoul did not yet know everything that was happening. Practically everything, he felt certain. But there might be some nuance to the situation, or to Norn's motivations, that the local clan chief intended to show him. Or it could be simple treachery. Raoul had no preference. In either case, he would deal with the problem and then respond to Norn in whatever manner was most appropriate and tasteful. When had he done anything else? The little group reached the mouth of a side tunnel, and the leader of the escort of Nine Claws Toms came to a halt.
"There," the cat said, "down that tunnel. Keep going, and it will lead you out into the human section of the Habel."
"Will it?" Raoul asked calmly.
"Yes."
"But you aren't going there?"
Raoul said.
No.
You are stopping here,
Raoul said.
Yes.
Because you are afraid.
The other cat stared at Raoul with flat eyes. Raoul yawned his unconcern.
If you wish to keep those eyes, he said pleasantly, move them elsewhere.
Raoul,
Little Mouse breathed in protest. Little Mouse was such a tender, sensitive thing. Threatening to rip out someone's eyes was probably something she regarded as shocking, no matter how sincere Raoul might be, or how well-earned the threat had been. Raoul looked up at her fondly, then turned his attention back to their escort. The threat drew a response from the rest of the Nine Claws present, and they all turned to stare at Raoul. Raoul returned their gazes one by one, and one by one they turned disinterestedly away from him, as if they'd found their conflict to have suddenly become unspeakably dull. Raoul lashed his tail in satisfaction and said to Little Mouse,
"Shall we?"
"Of course," Little Mouse replied. "Would you like me to carry you?"
Raoul considered the question gravely.
"No," he decided. "You should be ready to use your gauntlet instead."
Bridget's eyebrows went up, but instead of protesting, she calmly rolled her sleeve all the way up and away from the gauntlet. As Raoul understood it, there was no real need for such an action, as long as Little Mouse didn't use the gauntlet too much, but the copper cages around the devices grew very hot after a time, and could set cloth aflame. Folly, meanwhile, stared at the new tunnel's blackness with wide, frightened eyes. Raoul approved. Fear was wisdom in a situation like this, and he was pleased that Folly was obviously intelligent enough to know it. He hoped that she would use the fear to make her cleverer rather than more foolish, but that was asking much of a human, relatively odd or not.
"I wonder," Folly said to the jar, "could we go another way? A way that is not down this tunnel?"
"Unlikely," Raoul said. "Norn means us to walk down that tunnel. To refuse him would be to challenge his rule."
"Oh dear,"
Folly said.
"I think you should walk on my right,"
Little Mouse said to Folly. Little Mouse was afraid. Raoul could hear her elevated heartbeat, but her voice was as calm and regular as a cat's. He felt that he deserved most of the credit for teaching her that.
"That way I can lift my gauntlet hand without bumping into you." "Oh, yes, she's quite right,"
Folly said, nodding, and stepped up to stand a little behind Little Mouse and to her right.
"But one of us should tell her that I would prefer another tunnel. Any other tunnel at all in the world to this one." "Hold the lights up, please,"
Little Mouse asked.
"The sooner I can see a potential threat, the sooner I can attempt to blast it."
Folly solemnly lifted her little jar of crystals to her chin.
"Thank you,"
Little Mouse said.
"I will go first," Raoul told her. "Please do not tread upon my tail. I find it demeaning."
"I haven't done that since I was 11,
Little Mouse said, smiling.
"Yet,"
Raoul said. Then he flicked his tail left and right and started down the tunnel. After he had taken a few steps, the clothing of the humans rustled, and they began walking steadily along behind him.
There was a strange scent in the tunnel, and Raoul noted it immediately.
It was creature flesh, he knew that much. Something had come into the spire from the surface, its scent pungent and unsettling in his nose. There was the foul taint to it that Raoul had learned to associate with poisonous, inedible kills while he was still a fuzzy little kit. So something particularly strange and perhaps particularly dangerous had recently been in this tunnel. Raoul objected. Granted, the Nine Claws territory was not his to defend, but but it seemed grotesquely inappropriate that something should go to all the trouble of coming this far up the spire from the surface, only to prove utterly useless as food after it should be hunted. It seemed very rude to make a cat go to all the work of hunting and killing it, and then not provide the victory feast after the successful conclusion to the hunt.
"Ahead," Folly breathed. "Something. The ceiling."
They had to walk another 40 steps, fewer for the humans, he supposed, before even his eyes could make out something in the near-perfect shadows of the tunnel's ceiling. The ceiling was perhaps 2 or 3 pounces above them, and made of conventional stone rather than spire stone. The humans of Habble Landing had halved the height of the tunnels as well, though Raoul was sure he did not know why they would do such a foolish thing. To provide more tunnels for the top half of their Habble, Raoul supposed. There was, Raoul noted, a hole in the ceiling, as wide as the length of his body and tail. From the hole trailed dozens of long lines of some kind, something like all the long ropes on Grimm's airship, but made of different material than those had been. They stirred gently in the breeze of the tunnel. As they did, they reflected hundreds of tiny random colours of light from the jar Folly carried. It was a moment more before Little Mouse and Folly were able to see the lines, and at that point their steps slowed and stopped.
What is that? Little Mouse breathed. What are those ropes made of?
Ether silk,
Folly whispered.
Ether silk rope? Little Mouse asked, her mouth open. Who could afford to make such a thing?
It isn't rope, Folly told her jar, but she doesn't know that. She's probably never seen what it looks like before it's been harvested.
Harvested? Little Mouse asked. Then she drew in a short, sharp breath.
Silk weavers. That's what you mean, isn't it?
Folly stared at the hole as though she could not look away and nodded in silence. Bridget shook her head.
But they live on the surface and in the mists. They don't... To weave a strand that big, they would have to be enormous. And God in heaven, what lunatic would attempt to tame them? Fools have been trying to domesticate them for their silk for 2,000 years with no success, with no survivors.
In my opinion, humans are sufficiently foolish to attempt it again, Raoul noted.
Oh!
Folly said suddenly, and staggered back several steps, flinching away from some unseen threat.
Watch out!
Raoul stared at the odd human, and for a baffled second nothing happened. And then there was a chorus of high-pitched, eerie sounds, and dozens of silk weavers plunged through the hole and plummeted toward them. Raoul had never seen one of the creatures before, but he had learned his people's lore about the silk weavers, along with a nightmarish menagerie of creatures like them. He knew them, knew how they hunted, and he knew how to kill them. The first movements proved to be half a dozen creatures, about half of Raoul's own size, he estimated. They had a dozen legs, spread out along either side of a lean, hard-scaled body that made them look something like overly enthused silverfish. Their heads, however, were bulbous, sporting short muzzles that opened in 3 parts that were all serrated along the inside. Streamers of silk issued from their rear parts, providing a kind of drop line that they would use to control their fall. The fresh exuded silk, Raoul remembered, was quite adhesive and presented additional danger. It would not do to be hasty. So he contemplated his actions carefully, until the silk weavers had fallen almost halfway to the tunnel floor. And then he moved. He bounded up, not at the lowermost of the falling silk weavers, but at the highest. He slammed both front paws into the thing, stiff-legged, and shoved it back. Raoul used the momentum to twist in the air and land on his feet, his head already tracking to see the results of his attack. His victim swung in a wide arc, its silk line tangling with those of its companions. The silk weavers let out whistles of distress as the sticky silk at their rear ends clung to other lines and weavers alike. One of them became hopelessly tangled, and two more had legs wound up in twists of silken line. The other three managed to escape the tangle and drop to the floor. Raoul pounced on the first and batted it as hard as he could with his paws, knocking it away onto its side. The second got the same treatment, and then the third leapt upon Raoul. The warrior cat had been waiting for the stupid things to get around to that. He flung himself in the direction of the silk weaver's leap, flipping himself onto his back in a sinuous motion as he did. The silk weaver came down, poisonous jaws questing for his flesh, and he held it away with his front paws. While raking savagely with the claws on his rear legs at its vulnerable underside. The silk weaver's legs convulsed as Raoul hit something vital, and the cat flung it off him contemptuously. Neither of the other two had risen to their many legs yet, and were still thrashing on the stone floor. He pounced on the nearest, got a good grip on its underbelly with his jaws, and before it could curl and bite him, he shook it savagely, ripping the frail underbody open. It let out a shriek like the first, legs thrashing, and tumbled free, leaving a mouthful of its vitals behind. Raoul spat the foul-tasting thing out of his mouth and turned toward the third silk weaver, only to see Little Mouse's large, sturdy shoe come crushing down on the thing like a column of living stone. The silk weaver was quite simply no match for that kind of mass and strength, and it didn't so much die as explode in every direction. Raoul whirled toward the tangled silk weavers, leapt upon one of them, and killed it with his jaws, taking care to avoid the silk himself. And while he did, Little Mouse stomped the remaining two silk weavers into splatter marks on the floor. Handy, humans, Raoul thought. Clumsy, slow, and not always terribly bright. But they were very, very strong, through sheer inarguable mass. He now saw his father's wisdom in desiring to keep a few of them around the home tunnels. They could manage annoying problems that might prove awkward and time-consuming for cats. Raoul looked around calmly for more foes to defeat, but he'd run out of enemies with which to amuse himself. Just as well, he supposed. They tasted horrible, and it would take him a week to get all of their goo and stench out of his fur.
"Well, I have saved you both,"
Raoul said to the humans.
"Though I will concede, Little Mouse, that you were not entirely useless to me in this matter."
"Thank you," Little Mouse said gravely.
She examined the bottom of her stomping shoe and shuddered.
"Ugh, how revolting."
"How useless," Raoul said, disgusted. "It was barely a fight at all. And we can't even eat them."
"Just as well," Little Mouse said. "They have a poisonous bite, do they not?"
"Were any of us bitten?" Raoul asked.
"No."
"Then no," Raoul said simply. "They obviously did not."
He gave her gauntlet a pointed glance.
"An unused weapon is not a weapon at all."
"I didn't have time to aim it before they were bouncing all over the floor," Little Mouse said. "And after that, they were all around you. You did ask me not to step on your tail with my boots. I assumed you would not want me to step on it with my gauntlet either."
Raoul considered that and nodded.
"That does not seem unreasonable, I suppose. Presumptuous, but not stupid."
"Thank you," Little Mouse said, in that tone of voice that sometimes made Raoul wonder whether she was in some way mocking him. He couldn't be sure.
Little Mouse was woefully lacking in ears, and had no tail whatsoever. How on earth was one supposed to know what was going on behind those enormous myopic eyeballs without some kind of cue?
So that's what that is like,
the odd human was saying. She shivered.
Weavers! Weavers! Run!
Folly, Little Mouse said. It's all right. They're dead. We've killed them.
Folly shook her head in a jerky motion and jabbed a finger upward.
Bridget doesn't know, she whimpered. Bridget doesn't. There! There! There!
And with that, a flood of silk weavers poured from the hole in the ceiling. They were all more or less the same size as the first group of creatures, but there were more of them. Not dozens, not scores. Hundreds. Hundreds and hundreds of them, pouring out like water in a chorus of shrieks, a rattling thunder of clashing serrated jaws, swarming down the already hanging silk lines like inverted aeronauts, like fleets of them. It was just possible that there were too many for Raoul to exterminate alone.
Run!
Little Mouse bellowed. She grabbed Folly, and Raoul flung himself into a run beside them. The Etherealist's apprentice and the two guardsmen, neither of whom were guarding anything, or, in point of fact, men, took off down the hallway at a frantic sprint. A chittering tide of silk weavers boiled along behind them.